We will read responsively selection 14, The Dignity of Man.
May we unite in prayer. O God, thy Spirit hath called us to this place, and we turn aside to meet with thee. Be thou pleased to answer our prayers and our longings, that we might know a living God and find ourselves again in thy presence and in thy service. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins and shortcomings. Forgive us the littleness of our hearts and the narrowness of our spirits, and enlarge our love and increase our faith, and make us to be a good servant that needeth not to be ashamed. Equip us for every good work, that we might be efficient in our times and faithful unto thee. We thank thee, our Father, that thou hast set us in the midst of families and hath given unto us many kinmen. We thank thee for brothers and sisters of the faith throughout the world, and we thank thee especially for the fellowship of our Baptist people. And we pray, O Lord, that thou will move in our midst for great good, that thou will bind us up as a great people in thy service. Save us from arrogance and pride, and make us to be true unto the high visions of Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank thee for our denominational leaders and servants. We thank thee for the one who comes to us this day to speak to our hearts. Open our minds and hearts to receive the portion of thy word which thou would have us hear, and may we receive it as good soil to bring forth a harvest that will please thee. Bless us in our study, bless us in our teaching, bless us in our going and coming, save us from all evil and harm, and cause us to rejoice in the Lord. Be with the president of our seminary, each member of the faculty, each member of the staff, be with each student, and we remember, O Lord, our loved ones at home, that thou will watch over and keep them for all the Christian family. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the greatest helps received by pastors in Southern Baptist churches is Church Administration Magazine. When the Sunday School Board decided to make this journal possible a few years ago, they found a man who was well equipped by experience in churches, by his own preparation in the field of journalism, by his understanding of the denomination and of people. And they brought Howard Fauchy to the position of the editorship of this journal. He started the magazine and has edited the magazine since its beginning. He is a graduate of Howard College, the University of Alabama, and Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. We are pleased to have him speak to us at this time and share with us some of the experiences on our campus through the day. Mr. Fauchy.
Thank you. One of the books out of World War II that made a direct hit with me was one in which I found this paragraph. Some men die by shrapnel. Some go down in flames. But most men die inch by inch at little things. The tragedy of tragedies for Christian workers is to have talent and opportunity, but to find your life slipping away inch by inch at little things. And Christian workers are no more immune to this than they are to heartburn or to cancer. Did you folks see the Associated Press article some months ago? I think they meant for it to be humorous. Coming out of London, England, it was entitled, "If There's Anything You Want Done, Call This Minister." And here was the Associated Press article. "Reverend Mr. Brown is a handy man to have around. He demonstrated his handiness last evening at a wedding in his church. The bride and groom, arriving a little early, found Reverend Brown in his coveralls dusting and sweeping the church. Quickly doffing his coveralls and putting on his robe, he greeted the couple and then hurried toward the organ at the front of the church. He proceeded to play quiet music while the couple waited and then walked down the aisle. Hurrying to the altar, he performed the wedding ceremony. And then as the couple walked back up the aisle, Reverend Mr. Brown rushed to the organ and played, 'I'll Walk Beside You.' Hurrying up the aisle, Reverend Brown congratulated the couple in the foyer, and as he handed them the church register book, he greeted the folk attending the wedding. With one hand, he continued to greet the people, and with his right foot securely placed in the loop in the bell rope, he rang the bells high above in the belfry." I'm sure that Mr. Brown is a man of God. I'm certain that he's dedicated and loves his people. But he probably is one of the legions of pastors and ministers of education who find themselves shackled to little things. Probably his spiritual life starves. His people may be perishing spiritually, and his own ministry may be anemic. How can we unshackle ourselves from these little things? I think you would expect me to say why the Church Administration magazine is your answer, but I can't. I hope that it'll give you practical insights into your work. But a church administrator must go back to the Bible. A long time ago, I established the practice of whenever I read the Bible for my own spiritual nourishment, to underline those passages that gave me new insight into my leadership qualities. And this morning, I'd like to share some of these passages with you. How can we get out of the mire of minutiae that keeps us from doing the job that God wants us to do? Let's ask ourselves some questions. The first question we ask ourselves is, do I know how to share my job? Some people say delegate. I much prefer how to share my job. Some pastors live by the old philosophy that if you want anything done right, do it yourself. This man may be a whirling dervish, but he's not the kind of leader that God would have him to be. Have you ever turned over to the 18th chapter of Exodus and found the man that's in the same position that you may find yourself, harried, busy, seeking to do everything for himself and for his people and not knowing how to turn loose? For the best passage that I've ever found, turn to the 18th chapter of Exodus and read again this story between Moses and Jethro. "And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, 'This thing that thou doest, all of these details, all of the work for the people, where his time was washed away and he could not get at the big job, this thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and the people that's with thee. Not only will you wear away, but you'll wear your people away. For this thing is too heavy for thee, for thou art not able to perform it alone.'" And do you remember about the division of labor? "And then let these people judge the people at all seasons, and they shall bring every great matter to you, but every small matter they shall judge. The man who is to keep from getting in the position of Mr. Brown is to be able to turn like Moses to his people and realize that his job is not running a tight ship, but he is the spiritual spokesman for his people, and to realize that there are some jobs that only he can do. The biggest temptation, or one of the big temptations that you'll face in your ministry, will be the temptation to do everything for your people. Jesus realized that even on earth, he could not accomplish all of these things. Today in administration, you hear the term multiplier effect. Jesus was showing this very principle when he called unto himself disciples, unlikely people, and he spent the great bulk of his time training them and multiplying his influence. For did he not say to these men time and time again, probably, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Greater works than I have done, ye shall do. Do I share my work with others? Another question to ask to get out of the mire of minutia, to get to the job that you feel God is calling you, we ask ourselves the question, do I understand my total job? I saw a cartoon coming out of Cape Kennedy recently. It showed two scientists sitting in a bunker, and out into the distance rose a tremendous missile headed skyward. And one scientist turned to the other and said, 4 years in college, 4 years at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and all I do is count 10 backwards. God's called me to a job, but it seems that I have allowed myself to get caught and dying inch by inch at little things. A pastor cannot understand his job until he understands the very nature of the church itself. What is a church to be? Then, what are these basic, overriding, high-priority jobs that a church is to do? Everything that is suggested by denominational agencies, everything that is suggested by your people may not be of the highest priority. But when a pastor sees himself as the spiritual leader of these people, leading them to choose activities that will lead them toward spiritual growth. For your job does not come out of a job description from a magazine, but the pastor's job grows out of an understanding of what the church is to be and to do. This is why pulpit committees come to you and they say, what's your program? You don't have a program. Your job is to lead these pulpit committees, then to ask the next man, after your tenure is over, to say, this is what we believe God would have us to do in this church. Do you think that you're the man that can lead us on in doing the job? The third question, where am I leading my people? Franklin Pascal preached a sermon in Nashville not long ago entitled, If You Get Where You're Going, Where Will You Be? One day as I was reading along, I found this Mark 3:25, and I underlined it. For the first time, I caught a glimpse of my job as a pastor, how to lead the people towards significant jobs. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. This is where a man needs to understand something about objectives. This is where a man needs to understand the very nature of the church itself. And rather than feeling you're on a giant Ferris wheel with it going faster and faster and brighter and louder, to be able to lead your people to say, this is where we think God wants us to go. And take it's like taking a giant pair of shears and cutting this Ferris wheel and stretching it out as a track before you to move you toward what God would have you to do rather than what the Sunday school board or your association or you would like the people to do. I met a man recently in Atlanta from the Southern Bell Telephone Company, and in a conversation with him, I said, "What's happening to Southern Bell? Your stock is just skyrocketing." And he said, "At Southern Bell, we made a decision 3 years ago that's changed our life. We decided that at Southern Bell Telephone Company, we are no longer a telephone business." I said, "Tell me more. Southern Bell is not in the telephone business?" He says, "No, we decided that we're in the communication business." How close this is to the illustration that corporate planners use when they say that if the buggy manufacturers had understood that they were in the transportation business rather than the buggy building business, they might be today's largest automobile manufacturers. One of the heavy responsibilities as a pastor, as a minister of education, is to lead your people to understand the business of God that they're in. Are you in the business of winning study course awards? Are you in the business of education? Are you in the business of putting on the forward program and many other things? Are you in the area of stewardship education? And so one of these passages that day that I read, "If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." I was talking to a friend recently who had been visiting up near Detroit and had gone in to see one of the vice presidents of the Ford Motor Company. And while he was talking to the vice president, he said, "What does next year's model look like?" And the vice president of the Ford Motor Company said, "Well, I don't really know, but I'll find out for you." And my friend said, "You don't know what next year's model looks like?" He said, "Oh, I have an idea, but I'm working on 1970. One of your responsibilities as a pastor in leading your people out of the minutiae of details is begin to set forth a vision for them. What do you want your church to be? Not to do, but what do you want your church to be by 1970? Where am I leading my people?" There are many other passages that I've underlined from time to time, and I hope that you'll take this idea, for a mind stretched by a new idea can never go back to its original size. I recall one day reading where Jesus said, "A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to my Father." And I thought to myself, all the troubles that I've gotten myself in churches because I did not lead the people to understand the changes that were going to be coming and that would affect them. And here was Jesus seeking to get his disciples ready to understand the changes that would be coming. And then one day toward the close, Jesus, of all the people, did not have time to stop. But he said, "Come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while." I recall in college, for I was not a ministerial student at that time, but working down in the science hall, an attitude on the campus of "Don't fail to accept every invitation that comes." I know two or three of those men who flunked out. So busy, unable to pace themselves to see the important matters at important times. And Jesus was saying, "Pastor, learn to pace yourself, for your creativity diminishes in direct proportion to your fatigue." A janitor was heard to say to a deacon one night on Wednesday night, they had lost their new pastor, and he had only been there 6 months. But he was a pistol ball while he was there. And the janitor said, "I could have told you he was leaving. That man doesn't come in with his carburetor turned up too high." come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. A friend in Miami told me that this happened to him in his church. On Saturday night, he was sweeping and straightening up a few chairs because someone had failed to do it in this small church. He would have given his life for his people. But one lady came through late that Saturday afternoon, almost dusk, and she said to him, "Pastor, why aren't you in your study getting ready to feed my soul?" Some men die by shrapnel. Some go down in flames. But most men die inch by inch at little things. Stand. Our Father, help us to see the job, the opportunities, the work that is before us that Thou hast called us to do. And help us to seek to learn how that we may get to the jobs that Thou dost have. Help us that we might turn to Thee for guidance, for our own spiritual nurture, and for our own Christian leadership. These things we ask in Jesus' name.